Man, I am expectant about 2008. I'm expectant about having a great 08. How about you?
Me too.
All right. Well, last week we started like a mini-series on having a great 08. The attitude of Ruth, a fresh start. This little-known Bible personality named Ruth. Let me give you some historical background on this woman, Ruth. Basically, there was a woman named Naomi, and she and her husband and two sons were from Bethlehem in Judah. And there was a famine in Bethlehem. So Naomi, her husband, and two sons decided to go where? To Moab, which is a nation just east of Israel. It kind of sits right next to it. And in the process of time, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, had died. Now, her two sons had married women who were Moabite descent, Ruth and Orpah. And after some time, the two sons also died. So Naomi was a widow, and she had lost her children. Over a series of events, she heard that God had come to the aid of his people in Bethlehem, providing food. So she decided to do what? She decided to move from Moab back to Bethlehem. And the two daughters-in-law, they said, well, Naomi, we're going to go with you. And she said, no, you stay in your country in Moab. They're like, no, Naomi, we want to go to Bethlehem with you. She said, no, you stay in Moab. So Orpah stayed, but Ruth was of a different spirit. Ruth followed her to Bethlehem. See, Ruth was of the attitude of the spirit of new beginnings. Now, how did Ruth demonstrate this attitude of new beginnings in her life? First of all, we studied in Ruth 1, verse 16, that Ruth said to Naomi, Ruth 1:16, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. She was of the attitude of a new start, demonstrated in the first way by making Naomi's God, Yahweh, her God. Number two, she demonstrated that she was of the attitude of a new start by being faithful. She started gleaning behind the reapers in Boaz's field. And it says in Ruth 2, verses 6 and 7, that she gleaned and she worked from morning, early in the morning, till late at night, faithfully. She did not quit. And the third way that Ruth demonstrated this attitude of new beginnings was by being servant-hearted. We find in Ruth 3, verse 5, that she told Naomi, Naomi, whatever you tell me to do, that I will do. And let me tell you something. Ruth had greatness in her life. We find in Ruth chapter 4 that something great happened to her. She ended up marrying Boaz, who was a man of standing. He was an influential man. He was a godly man. And guess what? They had a son named Obed. Find that in Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And guess who is in the line of David? Jesus Christ, God the Son. What greater reward than being in the line of Jesus Christ, God Himself? She was of an attitude of a new start. She said, your God will be my God. Now tonight, in order to have a great 08, I want to concentrate on what Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. This is what she said. Let's look at this tonight. She said to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Friends, in order to have a great 08, you have got to do what? You have got to make God number one in your life. She was telling Naomi, now Ruth was telling Naomi, your God will be my God. She was saying, in essence, I am going to make your God the creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh, my God. You've got to understand that in Moab, where Ruth was from, they served a false god. The god's name was Chemosh. And it's very possible that most of her life, Ruth served that god called Chemosh. But she said, today is the day for new beginnings in my life. And the way she demonstrated that was by saying, your God will be my God. I am making Yahweh number one in my life. Friends, you may have had disappointments and missed opportunities in 2007. Could it be that you were disappointed in 2007 because maybe you placed someone else or something else in front of God? Maybe you placed a job in front of God? Maybe you placed books and knowledge in front of God? Maybe you idolized bitterness and self-pity? You know, we can make an idol out of bitterness and self-pity. Holding a grudge against someone and idolizing that grudge. Being full of self-pity, being so focused on ourselves. Is it possible that you put a human relationship in 07 before God? What does God say in Exodus 20, verse 3, in the Ten Commandments? He says, you will have no other God before me. God is a jealous God with a godly jealousy. He will take second place to none. Let me say that again. God will have no one or anything in front of Him. He takes second place to none. You will have no other God before me. Now remember this tonight. God isn't obligated to bless anyone who gives Him second place. God is not obligated to bless anyone who gives Him second place in their life. Right? What does the Word of God say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first God's kingdom, the advancement of His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Seek relationship with God. Make Him number one, and these other things will be added to you as well. If you agree with that tonight, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the question is, how do you make God number one in your life? In this new covenant. How do you make God number one in your life? Okay? By making Jesus Christ, God the Son, your Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Making God number one for a great... Oh, wait. Matthew 8. And this is what it says. A centurion came to Jesus, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. This centurion addressed Jesus as what? He didn't call Him Son of David. Although He was. He didn't call Him Son of God, although Jesus was Son of God. He addressed Him as what?
Lord.
As Lord. Because he knew that Jesus was above him. Jesus, I believe, was in control of the centurion's life. What does Lord mean? And we do a lot of street evangelism on the streets of downtown Tulsa on Friday nights. And I often ask people the question, you know, have you made Jesus your Savior and your Lord? Yes, I've made Jesus my Savior and my Lord. But what does the word Lord mean? I ask them. And we get all kinds of responses. And one of the responses I got some time back was, well, Lord means Creator. And I'm like, well, slightly, but not really. Lord means more than just Creator. This word Lord in the original Greek is Kurios. And it means this. It means supreme in authority. It means controller, master. Basically, Lord means ruler. R-U-L-E-R. Lord means ruler. Say it tonight. Lord means. Ruler. You know, Billy Graham once said, I believe he said, and I hope I'm quoting him correctly, but he said this. Billy Graham said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. In the physical realm, a child is born within a moment out of its mother's womb, right? It takes some hours. There's some labor involved, but it's born into this world in one moment's time, right? It takes a lifetime for that child to become a responsible and wise adult, right? Likewise, in the kingdom of God, immediately when you say, Jesus, be my Savior, I give my life to you, you are born again in a moment, immediately. But it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime for a Christian to make Jesus Lord over every single area. Takes a lifetime to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember this, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. Now think of your life like an automobile, like a car. With a driver's seat. How many like to take the wheel of their car and drive it around? You're in control, right? You press the gas, you press the brake when you want to stop, you turn the car left and right? Your automobile. Think of your life as a car with a driver's seat on your heart. My question to you tonight is this. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? Or is it Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler? You know, it takes humility to say, Jesus, be the ruler of my life. Be in the driver's seat of my car. You know, natural human nature would want to say, I want to be in control of my own life. I want to do what I want to do. But when you said, Jesus, I make you Savior and Lord, you basically said, Jesus, sit in the driver's seat of my life. Sit on the throne of my heart. Take control of every part of me. And it takes humility to give another being, another person, control of your life. You know, if Bill Gates, let's say they announce tonight, Bill Gates is going to be in the chapel service tonight. And he's handing out $10,000 cash to everybody who shows up. I'm sure there would be a lot of people in this room tonight, right? Right? And if he comes in here and says, well, guys, I want you to jump, you'd be like, maybe, we'd be probably like, well, Bill Gates, how high do you want us to jump, right? Because he's giving out some pretty large amount of cash. But let me tell you here tonight, there is somebody greater than Bill Gates in the house tonight, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving you the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. Amen? Jesus is our example. The Word of God says in 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. What was the walk of Jesus about? It was a walk of submission to the Heavenly Father.
Humility.
It was a walk of submission. It says in John 12:50 that Jesus said what the Father told him to say. He said only what the Father told him to say. In John 14:31, he did only what the Father told him to do. Father God was in complete control of the life of Jesus here on earth. He submitted to the Father. Amen? Like Ruth, how do we make God number one in our lives this year? How do we make God number one in our lives this year? How do we say like Ruth, I turn my back on these other gods, jobs, books, relationships. And God, I make you number one. How do we do that in 2008? How do we make God number one this year for a great await? We make Jesus Christ the Lord, the ruler over our thoughts. You know, you can either worship the world's way of thinking, or you can let the Lord Jesus Christ control your thoughts. The world says what? The world says live for yourself, for your job, for your things, for materialism, for knowledge, and book smarts. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Right? Jesus says, lay down your life for somebody less fortunate than yourself. Let's turn to Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's turn to Philippians 3. Talking about things that we're to think on, holy things. Philippians 3. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The world does not think this way, right? The world does not think about what's true and honest, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely. But Jesus said, if I am to be your Lord, if you're to make God number one in your life this year, you are to think with your mind on these things. Submit your thought life to the lordship, to the rulership of Jesus Christ. The second way that you make God number one in your life in 08, like Ruth made God number one, is with your body. You can either worship your body and what your body wants, or let Jesus rule what you do with your body. The flesh says this. The flesh says, bow down to what I want in promiscuity, in drugs, in alcohol, in smoking. That's what the flesh says. The flesh wants you to bow down to it and do what is wrong, to do what is unholy. But what does Jesus say? Jesus said, if I am your Lord, if I am your ruler, do only what is holy with your body this year and for the years to come. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. In the Old Testament, they had a physical temple with walls and roofs. With walls and a roof. Physical temple. And the Spirit of God dwelt where? In the Holy of Holies. Guess what the New Testament temple is? It's our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God in the New Testament and in the New Covenant. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? We are the New Covenant temple of God. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. We are the temple of God. If Jesus is to be Lord of your life this year, if you're saying, God, I want you number one in my life, then you've got to say, Jesus, be the ruler, the Lord of what I do with my body. Is what I do with my body holy in the sight of God? If it's smoking and you're damaging your lungs, if it's drugs and you're damaging brain cells, if it's drinking, try to stay away from that. Try to get off of those chemicals. And make Jesus Lord. If it's multiple partners intimacy with multiple partners, friends, that is doing what is unholy with your body. Jesus said, if I am your Lord, if you're making God number one in 2008, you're to be intimate with only one person, your spouse. And that's it. And if you don't have a spouse, you're not to be intimate with another human being. Amen? All right. The other way that we make God number one in 2008 is this, is by making Jesus Christ Lord and ruler of your spirit. You know, you can either worship in the spiritual realm, that which is unclean, or you can say, Jesus, I bow to your lordship and I worship you. Jesus, I let you rule my spirit. You know, friends, if you're involved with horoscopes or fortune tellers or palm readers, you are soiling your human spirit. You're soiling your human spirit. And it's true. You're allowing unclean spirits to enter your life. You need to stay away. You need to stay away. You know, I heard a Christian once say, you know, horoscopes are not that bad. I read it every so often. Just a little bit. That's the enemy's way of getting you deeper and deeper into the oceans of sin, is by saying just a little bit is okay, to the point where you're drowning in that sin and you can't get out. Don't consult your horoscope. Don't consult a palm reader. Don't consult a fortune teller. Consult the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, and He will tell you the future, what is up ahead for you. We all like to know a little bit of our future, right? Consult the Spirit of the living God. God, what should I do next? Is this the person you want me to marry? Is this the job I am to take? And if God is saying yes by His Spirit, there will be a peace on the inside. A peace on the, if God is saying no by His Spirit, there will be no peace on the inside. You've got to let only Jesus Christ rule your spirit, to sit upon the throne of your heart. He wants to talk to you. Friends, if you are consulting one of those three areas, fortune tellers, palm readers, horoscopes, you're dealing with the unclean. If you play with fire, guess what? You might get burned. So stay away from that. That's right. Jesus Christ wants to be in control of your spirit. He wants to speak to you about your future. The other area that we make God number one in 2008 is where? In the area of what? In the area of human relationships. See, if some person, some human person has been the focus of all your energies, your resources, and your time, guess what? You are idolizing, you are worshiping that other human being. And there's only one that wants to be worshipped, and that is God and God alone, by faith in Jesus Christ, by making Jesus Christ Lord and ruler. You know, think of human relationships this way. Think of a triangle. You got a triangle with the top corner and the two bottom corners, right? Got a triangle. Okay, who's at the top of that triangle? God is to be at the top of that triangle. And say you've got a spouse. You're at one corner, that spouse is at the other corner. Right? As you're growing closer to God and worshiping Him and focusing on God, as you come upwards, you're growing closer and closer to that person. You're growing stronger in your relationship with that person. So as you focus on God, as you worship Him alone and make Him number one in your life this year in the area of relationships, guess what? You'll grow stronger in that human relationship with that person. You got the triangle. As you come closer to God, you come closer to each other. What does the Word of God say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the thing that God, one of the things that God wants to add to you is what? Is a stronger relationship with your spouse. But God has got to be number one. Jesus Christ has got to be Lord over your human relationship. So how many here tonight want to have a great 2008? You've got to have the attitude of Ruth. The attitude of new beginnings. She said, Naomi, your God will be my God. Your God will be number one in my life. Let's say it tonight. God, you will be number one in my life this year and in the years to come. By faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and by making Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Lord means ruler. Jesus, rule every part of my life. My thoughts. What I do with my body. With my spirit. In my relationships. And with my finances. In Jesus' name. Amen.